Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, imagine if the nation you called home was suffering one of the world's worst AIDS epidemics. Imagine one in seven adults that passed by you on the street was suffering from HIV and didn't expect to live much beyond the age of 35. Add to that picture a million or more children orphaned by the disease. And now imagine that it's your job to try and turn that situation around somehow and bring hope to those who are suffering with AIDS. That is the situation faced by Kephas Garivume. He heads up the Hope for AIDS program in Zimbabwe. Kephas is in Australia at the moment, visiting our country and talking about the work, and he's dropped by Open House. It's good to have you here, Kephas.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheridan.
Welcome to Open House and welcome to Australia.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been in for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, I've been in for a week now.
Yeah.
And I still have 2 more weeks to go.
Okay, so you started in Perth, you've made your way through Melbourne and Sydney, and you're heading to Brisbane, so it's going to be a great...
Yes, and Tamworth.
And Tamworth as well.
Yes.
In northern New South Wales.
Yes.
Great stuff. Well, you were obviously born and raised in rural Zimbabwe.
Yes.
Became a Christian at the, as a child, I believe.
Yes,
And then where did the whole idea that you would then discover this area that you are pretty much giving your life to now, the whole HIV and AIDS area, how did that come into your life?
Yeah, I was... teaching at a teacher's college. Yeah, I was a lecturer at a teacher's college. And then students were dying in the hostels. And they were getting sick and dying in the hostels. But they would not want it known that they were sick because there was this horrible stigma that surrounded HIV infection. So they would not come out in the open, and the college authorities would just discover that that student has died, or if they have gone home, they sooner or later discover that they have died. And so as a result of that, the college decided to put on an AIDS awareness program in the college. And so they went to think about who would run that program in the college. And for some reason, they zeroed on me. And then they said, "We'd like you to run this program." So that's how it all started. And so I had to come up with a curriculum so that we'd have a systematic way of doing the awareness in the in the colleges.
And how many years ago was that?
This was 1996.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just grown from there on.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the stigma. Let's talk about the stigma. What is the stigma for the AIDS sufferer in Zimbabwe? It can be different for different countries, but what is it for the Zimbabwean?
At that time, HIV infection was associated with promiscuity. Yeah, and so you would be looked at as someone who has been careless with their lives, someone who has been a prostitute, and that's why you are having HIV and you are suffering from the consequences of...
of your bad actions,
your bad
choices.
Actions. Yeah, So people would not want to come out and show that they were sick with this disease because of that stigma, because of that association with promiscuity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you researched in the students who were HIV positive, what did you find when it came to, was it the fact that they were actually making poor choices? I mean, we don't want to in any way suggest that the stigma was warranted in any way, shape or form. But what was the story behind them contracting?
Yes, they were making wrong choices. Because you would have the rich people in the town coming to pick students and taking them overnight, bringing them the next day. And so as a result of that, the transmission of HIV was quite rapid in most institutions, colleges, universities, in the country. So that's why it was spreading very rapidly. So we needed to address that. We needed to talk to the students clearly so that they would understand how HIV was being transmitted. If they would know the correct facts about HIV transmission, then they would make better choices.
So have attitudes around that stigma of HIV, have they changed in Zimbabwe now?
They have changed quite a great deal because now with the advent of ARVs, antiretroviral drugs, people now know that they can, if they come out in the open, they can be helped. And then they can live longer with HIV than ever it was in the past. And even in the church, because the same stigma was also carrying in the church. And so we started a program to teach congregations too about HIV. So in order to clear the misconceptions that were there.
Okay, what misconceptions were there in the church?
The same thinking that people are getting the result of their sinful lives, and the condemnation, you know, that associated with that was associated with the sermons that would be made, you know, about people that had HIV, and yet it was not always the case that someone had been careless with their lives or they had been promiscuous. Sometimes it is someone who has been very faithful, but then HIV is introduced by their partner who has not been faithful. So it would be wrong to condemn both. And at any rate, who are we to want to condemn others for the mistakes that they would have made in life? Because we also make mistakes.
We all do. May not have been this particular one, but we all make it. It's always the hard line for ministers of the Christian gospel, because they want to give a very firm word against sin, against bad choices, against kind of, you know, giving in to the gratifying your desires and all that kind of stuff when you're actually unhealthy. At the same time, the life of Jesus shows that he gravitated towards the very people that didn't live like that, and they gravitated towards him. It's both, isn't it?
Yes. The compassion that that the Lord always showed, especially for people that were looked down on. So that's the approach that we took, that if the Lord Jesus was here on earth, how was he going to handle people that are infected with HIV? And we could see clearly that he would have been compassionate with them. And that's the same attitude that the church should have.
Yes. Kephas Garavume is with us from Zimbabwe, running the Hope for AIDS program there, just hearing about some of the stigma that's attached with being an HIV positive sufferer, and how that is actually changing as a result of these kinds of programs. This is Open House. And 1-300-40-2020 if you've got something to add to the conversation. So this Hope for AIDS program that has grown then out of that initial thing, which I always find really interesting when you think about people's choices with their lives. This wasn't a choice for you, really. Some folks came to you and said, we want you to run this program. Now it's actually become your service, your offering, your ministry to the world, and particularly to your country. God's hand is in all of it. So it's run by an organization called SIM, SIM, which people who have been around church circles might know as Serving in Mission, or its old name, Sudan Interior Mission. Now tell me about the program then. How has that kind of taken what you've done and extrapolated it further?
We have now come up with projects that come from the word HOPE. The H standing for home-based care, the O for orphans and vulnerable children, then the P for prevention of HIV, and then E for enabling the churches and communities to fight HIV. And we are now adding, we are now saying it is Hope Plus, because we are putting income generation as an important aspect again in the fight against HIV. Because now people are living longer with HIV, children are graduating in schools, but there is no employment in many countries of Africa. And in my country of Zimbabwe, unemployment is as high as 90%.
Yes.
So the people need to create their own employment. So we are adding income generation to it.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about, everybody's heard about the horrific financial situation in Zimbabwe, which would only be making your job even more difficult.
Yes. Yes, it has made it difficult.
How do you guys survive?
God meets our need. God meets our needs on a daily basis. The first thing that has happened is that the currency has been changed from the Zimbabwe dollar. We are now using the US dollar and the South Africa rand. And that has helped to have business start again. And so people are now ordering things from neighboring countries and filling our supermarkets and shops. So we can get food now for my children that are on, you know, orphan ministries, and we can also get food for people that are on home-based care.
Okay.
We no longer have to go out of the country to get it.
Yeah.
So that's how things have changed a little bit.
And like you said, a daily provision. Daily provision.
Yes.
Let's talk about that home-based care.
Yes.
720 people you've got in this home-based care.
Yes.
What is the home-based care comprise of?
We help them with their medicines that are prescribed by their doctors. We also help them by putting them in support groups so that they can encourage each other in living with HIV. And then we also help the caregivers, the families that are looking after the sick people, because, you know, they need a lot of counseling, and a lot of support. So we do that, and we also give them food where we see that there is no food, and yet the people have to take medicines. And to take medicines without food worsens your condition.
Yes, yes. Okay, so that's the home-based care.
Yes.
Is this a typo on my sheet of paper here? Is it actually true you're looking after 12,900 orphans?
It's correct.
12,900, nearly 13,000 children.
Yes, but the way we do it is that we train volunteers, church members, that volunteer to work with us in the various ministries. And so we have volunteers at various spots where our churches are found. So we train them. They are the ones now that go into the communities to meet the children and to meet the people that are on home-based care, hear what their needs are, pass on to us. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we are able to reach out to the 12,900.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And what are you doing for the orphans then? Because obviously that's a key area if they've got no family.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We help them with school fees so that they can also be in school like other children. And we support them with food where we see that they have no food, and encourage them to grow food by giving them seed and fertilizer.
Okay. The children actually starting planting seeds and...
Yes, they are helped by our church volunteers now. Yeah. In the communities where they are. And these children are living in their extended family systems. Yeah, because we don't do orphanages.
Okay.
But we help them in the communities where they lived with their parents, so that they continue in the culture and the way of life that was there for them.
Best case scenario, isn't it? Yes. They've got to stay with their extended family as much as possible.
Yeah. So the extended family members also help them in working in the fields together with our church members, the church volunteers. So we help them with seed and fertilizer. And then we also take them to camps so that we can listen to their stories and do counseling for them and other psychosocial support.
Okay.
Then we have children that are orphaned whilst breastfeeding. We used to get formula milk for them, but we have seen that formula milk is expensive and it sometimes is not available. So we are giving them goats. We give the families a goat and they milk the goat and give the milk to the child.
Mm.
Goat milk is just as good as breast milk. And it has raised children. Now I have children that are 4 years old, having started on goat milk at a few weeks old, to about a month old. And they like it.
Mm.
Yeah, they enjoy it. So that's how... You know, we are supporting them.
Excuse me. Well, it's an exciting vision. What is your vision?
To come to see our communities being able to fight and defeat HIV completely and wipe it from among us. And to see smiling faces in our orphans that have arisen because of this epidemic. Yeah. But that our communities are able to fight and defeat it completely, wipe it from among us.
Any rough idea as to how many years that may well take?
We are very hopeful that in the next 5 to 10 years, we would have made even bigger strides against HIV than we have done today.
Yeah.
In the past 10 years, we managed to reduce it from 1 in 4 in our populations to 1 in 7. And so we believe if we continue fighting it, mm-hmm. we should be able to reduce it further to single digits in terms of prevalence.
Wonderful. And of course, all of this is motivated by, as you said, that Nazarene yes, that you follow. It's yes. the love of Jesus that you're wanting to share. Jesus.
Indeed. Yeah.
Breaks down all the stigma.
Mm-hmm. And we have that motivation that, you know, this is what the Lord wants us to do. This mm-hmm. is what Jesus would have done if he were here on earth. And we are obeying his word in the Bible. Mm. So that keeps us going.
Well, God bless you in what you do, Kephas.
Thank you.
God bless you in what you do. Kephas Garibume, who runs the Hope for AIDS program in Zimbabwe. If you'd like to know more, or if you'd like to support them, sim.org.au is the website to make contact with him through the Australian channels, sim.org.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.